Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our Big Brother 19 live feed update for September 6th. I am your host, Taryn Armstrong, and today I have brought you my good friend, Matt Liguori. How are you doing, Matt?
Good morning. I'm very good. Very excited to be here to break down all 30 games of Cornhole that we watched on the feeds on one of the most exciting days of the Big Brother season yesterday.
Yes. Who is the champion Cornholer?
It seems like Jason knows what he's doing, but I couldn't sit through every single game or even one game, honestly, and watch them just throw the beanbags back and forth. So maybe somebody will let us know the exact results, the breakdowns of who's really good and who's really not so good.
We need the cornhole statistics. That's what we need. We are here to talk to you about the Big Brother 19 live feeds. We're going to update you on everything that happened on the feeds yesterday, and we're going to get right into this. We start off the day, as usual, with Kevin and Jason having a conversation in the morning. Kevin is telling Jason, they're having a long conversation about like, it's going to be so sad that like, you know, this is, where one of us is going to be leaving. And, Kevin is telling Jason, there are two people in this game that you cannot beat. And those people are Alex and Paul. And, Jason is like, yeah, I mean, I agree, but the only way to get them out is to take them out. The only way to beat them is to take them out of the game. And I'm not willing to do that. It's kind of a sticky situation here.
Right. We can't forget that Jason currently thinks that Paul still has his back in a way because a little bit, right? Because Paul took Alex off the block. It showed Alex and Jason that he still wants to maybe make something happen here. At least he's a little bit on their side by saying, all right, one of you won't go home because I'm taking Alex off the block. So Jason's like, well, I can't go after Paul next week if I'm still here because he just, you know, he just did something to help my game. So of course I wouldn't go after him.
Yeah. So something else that's interesting to talk about here with Kevin and Jason, there has been some talk about this in previous days, but I'm not sure how solid this is. So it's like, I don't know, but there's not a whole lot to talk about today. So let's talk about this. We had Paul talking about how Kevin seems very checked out of the game. And this seems to be representing itself in the fact that Kevin has alluded to the fact that if he feels like Jason is the one that's going to go home on Thursday night, he might just walk out of the house and try to like self-evict in order for Jason to stay. That's something that's been, you know, it's, people are starting to talk about this. Could this potentially happen? If you're asking me, no, it's not going to happen. They're not going to let this happen. He's not going to give up $25,000 just to let Jason stay in the game. But it is being talked about, and Kevin has alluded to the idea that he might actually do this.
Yeah, realistically, you know, we all know there's no chance that actually happens. They're all so, I don't know if you want to say depressed, but they're just, the mood is so down in that house right now. I mean, in a way, in terms of the game, they're all just so defeated. Yeah, Kevin, especially Jason, they're all just so down on their chances of making it to the end because each week it's just another blow, and something takes them back down a notch. Even when they get a little bit excited that something might be going well, Kevin sees that he's not on the block for the week, and he thought he was the target, and now it's like, oh, I'm on the block. Here we go again. So he's having a hard time keeping his head in the game. And at the end of the day, he's not going anywhere. He's not going to walk out for Jason. Nobody's going to do that for one another. But they're just defeated.
Yeah, you know, and it's interesting because, you know, you see a lot of pushback in terms of like, well, if Kevin walked from the game, like how that would be terrible. But in many ways, this is actually the most damaging thing Kevin could do to Paul's game if he wanted to make some kind of impact. However, we did talk about it on the roundtable. I still think Kevin has a very small chance that he could win. So I do think it would be pretty unfortunate if he decided to walk. But again, this is something that people talk about all the time. It's never actually something that happens. I think production, they're pretty good at talking people out of this. Obviously they weren't able to talk Megan out of it, but Kevin's gotten this far. He's got a $25,000 plus stipend incentive to stay and to not do this. So very unlikely, I think.
Yeah. And he's as much as he, you know, is trying to convince everybody still to this point, as of, you know, as recent as yesterday, that he doesn't know what the show is, he doesn't care about the show, and he, you know, or he, at least he didn't know what it was beforehand, he still wants to be there. He still wants to go as far as he can. And as much as he's trying to put on this front that, or at least he's been trying to all season, that he doesn't really, you know, it's whatever, it's just an experience, or he doesn't know what's going on there. He's not going to quit. He's not giving up.
Yes. All right. So we also had Christmas talking about her foot and that she can put some pressure on it now. It's starting to really get better. I really feel like there are going to be not a whole lot of competitions she's not able to compete in from this point on.
If she was able to compete in the last one, where every single person watching that said, how on earth was Christmas able to run she didn't actually have to run. But if she ran, what would have happened in that situation? If she took off, go ahead.
No, so here's the thing, because people keep saying this, but like, she did run at the end. She hopped along to the button. Right. Like, that's what would have happened.
So she would have lost in the first round, that if everybody else actually ran, or if anybody else actually ran, she would have been the last one to hit her button. So we really wanted to give her that opportunity because she could have hopped along the way. I don't know. But
yeah, I mean, I think anything that she's medically cleared to do, they let her do. Like, I mean, just like, you know, Kevin was never going to win that competition either, but you know, nobody's complaining that Kevin got to compete.
Right. But is there any kind of like liability? Like, you let her compete in this competition, you told her to hop, but like, is that officially on record that you said you have to hop if you get out there? Because what if she just started running and then they go, you know, the lawyers step in? I don't know how this works, but then the lawyers step in, they're like, you let her run on this foot that's healing? She just did damage to it again. How would that have gone?
I have to assume that they have lawyers on staff that will be telling them exactly what she can and can't do according to liability and what the things that she's signed. So I think let's not be armchair lawyers and let's assume that they've got this covered.
Yeah, you would hope that they do. But I think she said that next week she's going to the doctor again. They're going to check it out. I think when she got the boot on that she has now, didn't they say that she only has to wear it for another 2 weeks or so, which that time should be coming up sometime soon. So isn't there a chance that going into the final week or the final 2 weeks that she might not even have anything on at all?
I'm not sure. You know, it's obvious. I think we'll probably get an update the next time she goes to the doctor. We'll get an idea of whether or not that happens. But you know, yeah, I really feel like she's probably going to be able to compete in at least one of those final three competitions. We really thought she wouldn't be able to, but you know, she's looking more dangerous there toward the end.
And in worst case scenario, if she is still unable to compete, you would have to assume that they're still going to let the other two people in the final three compete in part one, and then maybe they would get to part two and it would be Christmas versus whoever lost in part one. And then they would just say, well, we can't do this competition, because they're not going to give up all three competitions for just because of Christmas, right? Like, they'll have a winner for part one, maybe a default winner for part two. And then the two of those people will just go to the final three. The part three competition.
It's hard to say. Obviously, if Christmas is not able to compete in either one, I think they would just say, yeah, you go there. But I feel like she, and I think they probably knew this in the house when she had the injury, that she would probably be able to compete in at least one of those. So they'll have two people competing in the first one. Maybe she's not eligible for that one, but then her versus the loser of that one in the second one. And then, you know, obviously the final three, the final competition would be the same. That's how I imagine it would go. And maybe like when we were thinking about, well, if she's ineligible to compete in either one, then how is this going to work? Maybe if she had been ineligible to compete, if they knew ahead of time that, like, maybe they knew ahead of time that one of these competitions, she definitely would be eligible. And that's why they allowed her to stay in the game. And maybe if she had, if it was like, oh, this is a foot smashing competition, we can't have that in the final three if you make it. So we have to boot you out of here.
Right. And I know that Brent has been saying that he's gone through all these competitions and he said that, you know, he hasn't found one that she would be able to compete in. There are competitions that maybe not, you know, maybe haven't been the final three competitions, but the one that I'm thinking of is the one where they had the bowling balls and they were rolling it up the ramp and they had to get it into the right spot. Like, that's just, I mean, that wasn't a final three competition, or maybe was it? No, it wasn't. I don't know, but that's the one I'm thinking.
Isn't that the one they played earlier this season?
Not No, I'm thinking of when they had to like roll the bowling ball into the right like HOH spot. It was a recent season. I don't think it was this year.
I need Kevin Martin to fill in for me whenever we talk about competitions. They usually have that big climbing wall with a puzzle right. for the second part, yeah. and I think she will be able to compete in that. Just keep just do it with one foot, and yeah. I think that'll be an interesting thing to watch. So we also had Raven. She was claiming that she ran in some marathons. She was planning on running in the Boston Marathon. That would have been interesting for me to watch. Christmas is really just like, she's really sick of this at this point. She's like, oh, really, really? You run marathons now too, huh? What's your time? What's your mile time? It's 6:20. What marathon were you gonna go in? Oh, I forget the name of the one in Boston. Christmas is just not having this. She was just complaining endlessly about it afterward.
It's really funny because over the past, the entire last 24 hours, a lot of them have been getting a little bit sad that the season's coming to an end and they're not going to be with each other anymore. They're not going to be in this environment with these people, and they're going to miss each other and all this stuff. Christmas was saying it to the camera. Paul and all of them were talking about it in the living room. They were just having a conversation about, oh, we should go get a house after this. We'll all live there and hang out. And people have this conversation like once every few seasons when you get a cast that gels well together in some ways. But no, every time that Raven starts talking again, they remind themselves that they can't stand to be around her for another second because they get driven crazy by all of her stories. Between the illnesses and then the crazy stories and then the repeating everything that they say, you know, Alex came back in after they were talking about Raven's marathon situation. And she's like, Raven just told a story that was the exact same story that I told. She just used different names. And that's how it works with Raven. They can't take it anymore because they're living with a human parrot.
Yeah.
A delusional human parrot.
And it's funny because Paul was saying, man, in the early weeks of this game, I was thinking like I might have to just like bow out to let her win this thing because like she really needs it. And now they've just completely turned around.
They were all ready to lay down and die in week two, week three, whatever it was, both of those, they were ready to say, okay, nobody take Raven out because you will look like the biggest a-hole in America. You have to let her get to the end and we're all going to vote for her to win and we're going to change her life for the better. And now look at the situation. They're all like, okay, this girl is crazy, out of her mind. And if she gets to the end, what if people, I don't know, the fact that people are entertaining that she could still win. I mean, you, I'm looking at you and Brent, you know, on the round table.
Brent much more than me.
I couldn't believe that I was hearing that. I mean, maybe it's just at this point in the season, we're trying to entertain every single possibility so that, you know, we at least have some hope that maybe somebody else.
It's a very specific scenario.
Raven is not winning this game. And I need to stop hearing anybody entertain that possibility. Even against Christmas, I don't want to hear it. Raven has a 0% chance to win. But for the record, I said that about Nicole last year, so.
Yeah, you say that about you did say that about Nicole. I had to argue with you about Nicole. All right.
But Nicole is nowhere near Raven, so I'm gonna.
You said 0% chance.
I know, but
this is even more zero, I guess.
Yeah, but who cares? Raven is not winning this game, and if she does, you can.
What? I already know Nicole. That you're bad at this. There's nothing else I can do. There's no bragging rights. There's like, you've already lost so many times. You said the same thing about Sydney. Man, it's just like, what can I do here, Matt?
So, hey, call him out. Call me out. All right.
Okay, so yes, Christmas is talking to the cameras and she is, I mean, we talked about this. If Christmas gets to the end, her speech is going to be all about team, team, team. I did the team and the team and the team. And this is what she's saying when she talks to the cameras. She's so happy about how her team is playing. She feels like people are going to say that she was carried in this game, but she's just a really good team player. She's okay coming in third next to her boys. She really, she loves them. And, you know, if she came back next year, she'd play a different game. But this year, she was forced to play a team game because she broke her foot, and she'll be happy to watch Josh or Paul take this down.
I don't know when the mindset that she had switched so drastically, but there was a time where she was anticipating that she might have to make a move that might shake things up, that she, you know, what was it, her first HOH? Or no, that was recently, I don't know. She was talking earlier, you know, a few weeks back about how, you know, she needs to shake things up, and there was seeds of I don't trust Paul, and now all of a sudden it's, this is the final three, this is my team, I'm bringing my team to the end, and when I am there, if I am there in that final two, I brought my team to the end. I was loyal to my team the whole game. And for some reason, she thinks that that might be a valid argument for why she played a good game. But she's just, her head's not in the game anymore in terms of winning. Her head is completely, she's just so focused on getting Josh and Paul to the end. And she doesn't care what happens to her. She doesn't care if she comes in second. She doesn't care if she comes in third. She wants the team of three to get to the end.
Yeah, and you know what? This is an interesting point to focus on, because, you know, we often talk about like, oh, Paul is just playing with like really dumb players, or Paul is just a vet and that's why, or like, oh, especially the idea that like, oh, he gave out friendship bracelets, or he was immune and that's what won him, won people over for him. But Christmas really was, as you point out, very much willing to turn on Paul at one point in this game. And it wasn't that long ago. And if you're asking me, like, what changed here? It was Paul's social game with Christmas. He has done an immense amount of work to get her to where she is now. She cares for Paul on a very intimate level here. He's even said to the cameras, like, chill out, guys. I know you're horny, but there's nothing going on with me in Christmas. I've got my little burrito waiting at home. So like, he's really, really done a great job of winning her over. And she like legitimately cares for him as a person enough that she really does just want him to win this game. And I like, that is impressive. That's not to do with him being a vet. That's not to do with him being immune. That was just work that he put in the last few weeks, because prior to that, she really was willing to make some sort of move against him.
Right. It just feels like she's just like the mother figure in a way, not as much as like some of the older women that we've seen, because Christmas isn't really old. What is she? I think she's 33 maybe, because I remember I looked it up this week because, Josh and her were having a conversation and Christmas started, you know, yelling at Josh about all this stuff. I think Josh is 23. Christmas is 33. Something like that. And Paul's 24. So here is this, you know, grown woman with a 23-year-old and a 24-year-old that she's been working with this entire game. And it just feels like she's becoming protective over them. And she's just, these are her boys, and she wants to see her boys get to the end. She doesn't, you know, and like you said, Paul has been extremely impressive with the work that he's done to get her to be so loving and caring towards him, and make sure that, you know, that Christmas has Paul's best interests at heart. But I don't know. It's just, I guess we'll chalk it up to Paul's impressive game, because how else would Christmas have gotten at this point?
Well, I do think that we should credit Paul for getting Christmas to do this with him, right? Like, it's good that Christmas is wanting him to win this game and not somebody else, like say Josh. However, I in terms of like why Christmas is like this, I do think it is because of her foot. I think that this is somebody whose entire identity is built around her physical fitness, and to be completely out of commission for so long, I think it really just took a toll on how she sees herself in the game. She doesn't even see herself as really necessarily worthy of the win because she wasn't able to play as she wanted to. And she alludes to that when she's talking to the cameras. She says, you know, I would have played a completely different game. I would have been so much more physical. I would have been much more of a powerhouse in this game, but I couldn't play that way because I broke my foot. And I really think that's like what's at work here. And I think that she, again, we talked about this on the roundtable, but like, I think that she sees this as, you know, now I'm just going to like try to present myself as best as I can, hope that people like me, that I'm a fan favorite, that I can get some publicity for my book and my other work. And I think she also wants an invite to come back next year. She's been talking about that. Like, man, if I come back next year, though, watch out. That's going to be me playing because I can't play the way I want to right now. But if I come back, I'm going to be able to play the way that I would actually want to. So I really think that's where Christmas is coming from. If I'm going to be, you know, in my armchair psychologist situation, if I move over from the armchair lawyer into the armchair psychology, that's where I would analyze Christmas with.
Yeah, I'm with you.
All right. So then we had another interesting situation here. Obviously, Josh has been talking a lot about some doubts that he has with Paul, and it really got heated again last night. He talked to Christmas about this idea that he really feels like Paul is working for his own interests and not for the group interests. He's very concerned about Paul's plan. If Paul wins HOH, Paul wants to put up two pawns. We talked about this yesterday, and then ultimately backdoor or nominate Alex as the replacement nominee in order to get her out. And Josh has a theory here. He feels like Paul is not going to take Alex out. He thinks Paul is going to pull a fast one. He's going to take Raven out because he doesn't control Raven. Josh and Christmas control Raven. And so he's going to take Raven out and keep Alex in as his puppy dog that he controls. And they're going to get screwed, which is like, for as much as we want to credit Josh because he's the only one doubting Paul, he is way off on this.
Oh, yeah. I mean, only a few hours later, Paul ran into Raven's room, whatever room she's sleeping in right now. And he's talking to her, telling her everything that, you know, he's thinking right now. Paul knows he has Raven locked in tight. Like, her loyalty is 100% with Paul. It is not with Josh. It's not with Christmas. She will do anything she can to get her and Paul to the end of the game. And Josh obviously is not seeing that. And, you know, he's presenting this idea to Christmas, and Christmas is like, well, that doesn't sound right, but it's not going to happen. Like if Paul tries to do that, like, we're not going to let it happen. But it's just like, Christmas doesn't even really understand where this is coming from because it's just not true. And Josh is, you know, Josh is just working so hard in terms of trying to come up with, you know, more reasons to present to Christmas on why Paul's agenda is only for himself and he's not thinking about the team. And he's just, you know, he's just coming up with more things to try to turn Christmas, you know, not turn him against Paul, but just turn her against Paul, just to say, like, you need to pay attention to what Paul's doing here.
Yeah, as Whitney points out in the chat, Paul is Raven's butty, and you know, he's not recognizing that. He's telling Christmas these things, and Christmas is like, that's not what's happening. Paul is not going to do that. If Paul does what you're saying and he keeps Alex, I'll be pissed. I'll be pissed right along with you. I will go on a rampage against Paul. We will do everything in our power to turn on Paul and to go after him, whatever you want to do. But it's not going to happen. Paul wants Alex out, and she's correct here. And that's why Josh is having such a hard time gaining any traction. And here's also the thing. She just got done talking about how she's so proud of her team, that she feels like this is one of the best alliances ever. And now, like, right after that, Josh is coming to her doing like what she sees Josh as planting seeds of doubt about Paul. Like, he's trying, like Paul isn't the one that's being selfish here. Josh is the one concerned about winning the game for himself. Josh is the one planting seeds of doubt within the team. And so she feels like this is treason. This is a betrayal, and she's getting pissed off.
Yeah, during the entire conversation, if you go back and watch it, you see her face just drop more and more as the conversation goes, because they start off, they're having a fun, nice, warm conversation with each other in the hot tub. And then as the conversation goes and she sees the direction that Josh is pushing the conversation in to say all these negative things about Paul, she just starts getting like more and more angry. And by the end of it, she's just like, all right, I'm done. Like, she's about to walk away in the same way that Josh walked away from her earlier in the week. You know, I'm sure it's okay when she does it, even though she screamed at Josh for doing it, but she was about to walk away. She didn't want anything to do with it. She didn't want to hear it. She was just extremely frustrated that Josh would even consider bringing this up again after they just had this whole long conversation, like you said, about this is our team and yeah, we've done such a great job or whatever. And Josh is like, yeah, but Paul, she's like, no, stop, enough. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah, it's very frustrating for her. And Josh has to be very careful about how he proceeds with this. And again, we talked about this on the roundtable. Josh just needs to shut up and like, just like recognize that he needs to take Paul out, because Josh is doing the absolute opposite of what he needs to be doing, right? Like, he needs to like stay quiet and then take a shot at Paul the first chance he has. But instead, he's talking about it constantly and then telling us, I'm not going to take a shot at Paul. I'm not going to betray Paul. It's the complete opposite of what he needs to do.
In any other normal season, I guess you could say, if you go to your alliance member and you say, this is a very powerful player in the game, we need to get them out, usually that conversation goes pretty well and you're like, oh yeah, we probably do need to get this ridiculously strong player who's got a great social game, and we all recognize it. Christmas recognizes it, Josh recognizes it, Kevin, Jason, Alex, everybody sees Paul's game. And in any other season, you would expect that two people would come together and say, yes, we need to get this person out. But Josh has seen time and time again that it's not going to work with Christmas. Christmas wants nothing to do with hearing about it. She doesn't care about anything that Josh is giving to her. So he needs to stop. He needs to stop bringing it up. And like you said, wait till you have the shot. And then if you want to take it, then take it. But stop talking about it right now, because all you're doing is putting your foot in your mouth.
Yeah. And that's the thing, because like, you'd say like in a normal season, you go to your closest ally, and he has, he went to his closest ally and he floated this idea multiple times. He's pushed a few times now. It's very clear it's not going to work. So he needs to lay off. Like that's the point. Like, you look at what Cody did in week one, where like he floated the idea, can we go after Paul? His allies pushed back. In week one, he made the incorrect decision of just going rogue and trying to do it on his own. And like, Josh could still make that incorrect decision. If he tries to get Paul out at Final Five and doesn't have any votes to get rid of him, then that is a mistake. However, once you get to the end of the game, Final Four, Final Three, even Final Five, if you can get that one vote, that's when you can take a shot and you can do it by yourself. Nobody can do anything about it. That's when he needs to do it. But after this conversation he has with Christmas, he goes and he talks to the cameras and he says, man, I'm not going to turn on Paul. I'm not going to turn on Christmas. I'm not going to let Paul play this game and his version of this game. And again, I feel like that's a mistake. You can't prevent Paul from playing this game. There's nothing you can do to turn this around on Paul at this point. It's gone way too far. And you are here by the grace of Paul wanting to take you down to the end. You should play into that and then cut him when you have the opportunity. There's really like, is there anything else Josh can do? He can't turn Alex. He's voting out Jason. Even if he doesn't vote out Jason, he's voting out Kevin and leaving Alex and Jason when Paul still controls Alex, and he's never going to turn Alex. Then he can't even turn his own closest ally, Christmas. He's obviously never going to turn Raven. Like, there's nothing he can do socially. He just needs to pull out a win.
He's just getting so frustrated because he knows, he's breaking out the superfan card. He says, I know as a superfan of this game what we need to do. And just the entire season has just been so frustrating for people who want to play the game and who want to make something happen, because there's just nowhere for them to turn that they have a number or two numbers or three numbers to make something happen. So he's frustrated beyond belief. But it's not like, you know, if he goes out in fifth place or fourth place or second or third, that any of us are going to look on it and say, Josh, you didn't try hard enough to get Paul out. Like, no one's gonna say, Josh, you didn't do anything that you didn't do anything to get him out. We see that you're trying. We know that you're trying. And if you don't make it to the end, or if you don't win in the end, it's not for a lack of trying. It's just, this is the situation you're in right now. There's nothing you can do about it. Wait until possibly final three and take the shot when you can. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. But it's a difference between possibly going out in third or going out in fifth, because if you keep pushing, Paul might pick up on it and say, all right, we need to get Josh out now.
Exactly. And that's the funny thing, actually, because people were so frustrated with Steve, because Steve wouldn't try to get Vanessa out. He was playing into Vanessa's game. Obviously Rob, you know, calls him a loser because of a move he made that benefits Vanessa. Because like Steve was doing things correctly. Josh is doing things incorrectly, and people are like, yes, Josh, talk against Paul. It's like, and if Josh ends up losing, I do think people would be like, you know what? But he did try. Whereas if Steve had lost, people would have been like, what a loser Steve was for always buying into what Vanessa was saying and never going against her. But what Steve is doing is the correct way to go about it. He needed to play into it. He needed to convince Vanessa that he was the loyal one, that he was the one that was going to take her to the end. And that's what Josh should be doing. And I think he sees that. The problem is that he gets so caught up and he thinks that he can trust Christmas, and he just can't. He can't. Christmas trusts two people, not one person. You don't have her individual loyalty, and you need to recognize that.
I really enjoyed over the past few days watching Josh try to tell people he's a super fan. And then the reaction from them, it's just every time, it's just too funny. He's having the conversation with Christmas last night, and he's like in the middle of it, he throws it out. Like, just like, you know, remember Bronte with the I'm a mathematician thing. He's just like, listen, like, I'm a super fan. And she's like, I know. And so stop talking about Paul. He's having the conversation with Jason. He's like, I'm a super fan. I know. We know you're a fan. They don't get it. They don't care. And he's doing everything he can, but it's just not, it's not going to happen. And it's funny a little bit.
Yes. So then finally, we also had Josh come out of the diary room crying because he had left Jason his goodbye message. We've talked about this. We feel like, or at least I feel like, Jason leaving will be an emotional moment for the show. It's very emotional for Josh. And we did have, again, another question here about this whole Kevin situation from Paige in the chat, who asks, if Kevin does decide to throw the money down the drain and self-evict, does that mean that Jason won't go this week, or will he need to be replaced on the block? This has actually never happened before, so it's hard to say what would happen for sure. I think the general idea is that production is going to be saying, no, if you self-evict, the eviction is still going to happen. You're not going to save your friend. And that's part of how they convince people not to do this. So I would guess that maybe there's a replacement. That obviously seems unfair to the person that's being replaced on the block. But since the other person was the target anyway, they'll probably just still go home. I'm guessing that if Kevin actually did want to go through with this, he'd talk to production and make sure that Jason would actually be saved. Otherwise, we'd see Kevin walk out the door and then Jason just walk out right after him. It's unclear. It's never happened before, and it's not going to happen anyway.
And it's not like they don't have a perfect example. Earlier in the season, Megan walked out the door and we continued on and had an eviction that same exact week. So it's not like they can say to Kevin, oh, well, if you leave, then Jason's going to stay, because that didn't happen earlier in the season when we had the situation. So that wouldn't be the case. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you're going to see Kevin stay. And it's just too late in the game. Production, you know, everybody has their tinfoil hats on about what production's going to do to influence the game. They're not letting somebody walk out at this late in the game. It's just not happening.
Yeah, well, as Paige does point out, if the producers are all about ratings, what better way than to get a self-eviction? I actually do think that's probably the best point in its favor. I think the only reason production may let this happen in terms of like not pushing back as hard is that it might actually make for great TV if Kevin sacrifices himself for Jason. I've been talking about how this might be an emotional thing anyway. That could be even more emotional. I feel like that would be a huge TV moment. I think that they could spin it in a way that gets the audience, the casual audience, on Kevin's side there. Like, you know, Kevin is throwing a wrench in evil Paul's plans. He's saving, you know, great father Jason, you know, and they were all so sad to send him home anyway. And now Jason is still in the game to fight and Kevin wants him to win. Like, go win it for me, Jason. I do think that could make for good TV, and that might be the only reason why producers may not push too hard against it. But again, if we're looking at history, this is not something they've usually wanted. So hard to see it happening.
Yeah, I can't get on board. Sorry.
All right. So that is our update for the day. Unless you have anything else you want to throw in here, Matt.
Nope. It was a quiet day, and it's probably going to be another quiet day today. But I'm excited for next week, because now that, you know, we're going to lose two people this week. Tomorrow night, we're going to be down to the final five, and it's going to be, if we have a situation where Paul and Christmas and Josh are still in the house with any two other of the people that are, you know, whether it's Raven, Kevin, or Alex, whoever else is there with them, we might end up seeing, as soon as next week, a situation where Josh or Paul come into power and they consider taking the other one out. And if Christmas's team and, you know, Christmas's boys start going after each other and things start to break up, that could be really interesting next week. So if we can get through this week, perhaps we have something good on the horizon. We'll see where it goes, but just two more days to get through until yes. Possibly something happens.
All right. So lots of great Survivor stuff on the horizon here. We've got this new podcast, First One Out, that I have been editing. Very great stuff from Josh Wiggler, who is in Fiji for the preseason of season 35. The second episode of that will be coming very shortly. So make sure you are on the lookout for that. Very excited about this. I've been very hard at work editing it, but it is so much fun and it's very different. So I hope you guys check this out. Even if you're not like a Survivor person, this is actually sort of made for anybody who's new to Survivor. It can serve as an introduction as well as a get to know you for the cast. Survivor casting is way better than Big Brother casting, and they actually they talk about that in some of the interviews that Josh does. So very, very fun stuff. Make sure you check that out. I believe Rob also just released a podcast with Josh, or at least will be very soon, talking about two of the first people in the cast. So Rob has some commentary on that as well. We will be back, of course, tomorrow at 10 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that's still happening on the feeds. And I just released another Survivor thing. I talked to Aubrey Bracco of Survivor Korong and Game Changers on the Taran Show. Make sure you check that out. Already getting lots of interesting responses. Lots of people who are like, yeah, I've never seen Survivor, but I listened to the Aubrey interview and it was actually really interesting. I never knew any of that stuff about Survivor. Even long-term Survivor fans are like, wow, I never knew like the kinds of stuff that you deal with, you know, that you don't really think about for Survivor players beyond just the physical and all that. So lots of interesting stuff to check out. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Armstrong Taran. Matt is at Matt Ligori.
Correct.
All right. So
and I have to mention the rankings.
Oh, yes.
Rob is a website.com. Go to the blog section. Check out the power rankings that I did for the week. I had Lita Brillman with me. We ranked all the players, including the one who hasn't changed since like week four. So if you want to check that out, robiswebsite.com, and we'll have one or two more before the season's up.
All right. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. We will see you next time.